You're listening to IdgitCast, Season 1, Episode 18, Something Wicked. The brothers investigate a small town in Wisconsin where children are falling into comas for no apparent reason. They soon discover a life force stealing witch that Dean knows all too well.
Welcome back to IdgitCast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, and I'm sitting here with my lovely wife, Darcy. And then we also have in New York, David Bushman.
Hello.
And down in New Orleans, we have Yvette.
Hey, y'all.
In Texas, we have John Pavlich.
Hi.
And then, let's stretch really hard, and we think if we find in Perth, Australia, Simone.
Hi.
Hello, wow, Simone. Australia, that's great. Australia.
So, Simone, what's your history with Supernatural, discovering it and watching?
I watched it from the very beginning, from the pilot. Sort of needed something to take over the place of Buffy and Angel, and this came along, and I knew both the people that were going to be the main guys, so right. I was on board for that, and it was awesome.
Good, good. All right.
Thanks for being here, Simone.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We've got a little girl coming to us.
Do you have tears in your eyes or are you okay? You have tears. What's wrong?
I just want to be in one more room by myself.
Okay. I shall return.
Okay.
You guys go ahead without me.
Should we start?
Go ahead and start. I'll be right back.
Okay.
That was so cute.
I know.
Well, now we're going to have a little girl going to bed in the open here.
Just make sure the window is latched.
Yes, yes. So in Fitchburg, Wisconsin, a little girl goes to bed. And her dad says that her mom is staying in the hospital overnight with her sister. And once it becomes dark, the branches are scraping at the window and a spindly hand opening the window. A figure enters and confronts the girl with a glowing mouth. And that's pretty much the whole cold open. Okay, does anybody want to say that these seem to be pretty darn similar to something from the Harry Potter universe? That this Striga seems a lot like a Dementor.
Hmm.
With the branch hands, dude?
Well, yeah, the branch hand's a little bit different, but...
It reminded me of, like, a Buffy villain. Like, I felt like it was definitely, like, something I would have seen in that universe.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, that light in his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the soul suck thing kind of looked a little bit like the soul suck in Living Conditions, the roommate episode in the fourth season of Buffy.
There are elements of it that remind me of Dirk Kinderstad from Killed by Death.
Uh-huh. Yes, and it also kind of resembles a ringwraith. To some extent, the hooded and odd looking. So all sorts of little elements there, right?
So what we're getting at is Hollywood is bankrupt.
The boys have been sent to Fitchburg via coordinates from their dad, with no other details, and they didn't find anything when they did online searches for spooky goings on in Fitchburg. I'm going to ask you this, and I don't know if you'll know anything about this. Is there any significance to the spelling differences on the signs? Because they practically seemed to... I thought maybe it was some kind of in-joke, because it seemed like they even zoomed in to highlight it.
Honestly, I did not even notice, so...
Yes, there's the population of Fitchburg sign was spelled one way, and then there was a welcome to Fitchburg sign that was spelled a different way.
Might have just been a mistake.
Well, it was a pretty clear one. It was pretty. So it was just because it was so obvious, and then they sort of seemed to zoom in on the signs a little bit. But that was probably just to keep the camera moving and keep the eye interested, I suppose.
Right.
So in town, they noticed the almost total lack of kids at the playground.
Which is apparently weird for after school time.
I suppose. I don't know. I didn't think... They said, what are you noticing? And I didn't actually notice anything.
You're like, a lack of kids? Awesome. Now I can be at the playground all by myself.
There you go. Playground for one.
Indeed, only one kid was there.
Yeah, luckily that one kid, an exposition mom.
An exposition mom. Tells Dean all about
did
the...
you recognize her?
No, who is she?
That's Erica Carroll, and she was in Faith. So a couple of episodes ago, she was on the show.
Oh.
And I can't say really, but you'll see that Faith again in the future. Like about a half a dozen people on this show that sure. play a bajillion different people.
Yeah, that happens a lot on these Canadian productions. People come back and play another small role and another small role. It happened all the time on The X-Files.
Only so many actors, I guess, working out of Vancouver.
Yeah, suppose so. So, yeah, the one mom on the playground tells Dean about the mystery illness that everyone is scared of and could potentially be contagious. They don't really even know what the cause is.
Hmm.
You're back.
I'm back. It's like magic.
Awesome. And it feels awful timely with the Enterovirus 68 and all that going on.
Yes.
And Iris, unfortunately, when we were actually viewing it, I had no way of warning Darcy. She watched it alone late at night with Iris with a fever of 104.
As she was laying on the couch right next to me, it was really horrible.
Aww.
I know, poor baby. But she's better. She's okay. There was no hospital involved.
No. No coronavirus.
Plus, you got this virus going around too with kids, right?
Yeah, the enterovirus.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were concerned about that because both our kids are asthmatic. So, but we're okay.
Everyone's doing pretty decent at the moment.
Yep.
So they infiltrate the hospital as doctors from the CDC using suits and questionable IDs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Questionable IDs.
That's what I said. On the way to the pediatrics ward, Dean sees an old crone with a menacing presence and an inverted crucifix on the wall.
Yeah, as soon as we saw her, we knew she was probably not any kind of a villain.
Yeah.
Too obvious.
She was super creepy, though.
I agree. I thought it was super creepy. Just to say she's super creepy again later, too, but...
Yeah.
She is super creepy.
She is. And, you know, she gave me... She gave me that feeling, because I don't know what your experience is, but the first horror movie I saw was The Exorcist. She gave me that creepy vibe, just for a second.
Just an Exorcist vibe of some sort?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they get the details on the illness, that is, in theory it's a bacterial pneumonia, but it spreads through sibling groups in families, the kids only. The antibiotics aren't working, and the kids' immune systems are giving out, and all are comatose.
Yeah, you know, speaking of pneumonia, there's that line where Sam goes, you know, this might not be anything supernatural, it might just be pneumonia. I wish they would just stop doing that already, because, I mean, I sort of understand why they have to do it, but I think we've all bought into the sort of artifice that they're there to investigate, you know, supernatural experiences, so they no longer have to pretend that wouldn't be the first logical explanation. I think we've kind of moved past that, but they do it like so often.
Yeah, so we've really only had the one episode where it turned out to not be anything supernatural.
Oh, that's right. And it was just crazy people.
Scary. So one of the fathers, the one from the cold open actually, says that his girls fell ill overnight, one night apart, and the second one caught a chill from an open window. And at this point, we could say, you know, that you don't really get a bacterial infection from cold air, but then again, we find out later that the head doctor isn't really pursuing a cause very hard either.
Poor Monkey Puss's dad. He was so sad.
I didn't quite understand what you said there.
I didn't say anything gross. I said that Monkey Puss's dad was sad because he called him Monkey Puss at the very beginning, which I think is the creepiest nickname for your own child ever. But, you know,
that's an awful
it's his
nickname.
Kid.
Yeah.
Your that face looks awful. Like a monkey.
Face looks like a monkey.
And where does the puss come in?
I don't know.
Connection? I don't get it.
Oh, puss is
his face. Yeah.
That's slang for face.
Like so, sourpuss.
Yeah, so sourpuss.
So, like sourpuss. Or, so,
I'm going to punch you in the puss. Yeah.
So, yeah. Call,
I can't believe I just said that.
I was that, right?
Picturing something else.
I'm pretty sure nobody says that, but that's
you might enjoy it.
Yeah, so he's calling her Monkey Face, basically.
Oh, monkeys are so ugly. Okay.
You're so sweet that I call you Monkey Face. Sam proposes that they check out the house while the family is occupied at the hospital. And they find a clawed handprint rotted into the window frame. And then Dean remembers this and we transition into a flashback.
Flashback time.
Wait, before we get to the flashback, I was just confused by what, like, Sam had that black light, but what were they going to see with a black light?
Well.
Like, there's something ghostly, or.
Who knows?
With the black light, can't you see, like, blood, or.
Yeah, like blood remnant or something like, or some kind of spooky remnant. Didn't they use the black light to find the some of the markings in the Bloody Mary episode?
Yeah, you're right, they did.
Okay, so maybe they're looking for spooky remnants. All right.
Spooky remnants. That's a
good band.
That's a technical term. Technical term. Yeah. Spooky remnants.
Or it's a good name for a B-sides album. I can't remember if I verbalized it a few episodes back, but I know I was thinking to myself that I wanted to see flashbacks of when they were younger. I might have said it out loud.
But this is the first time. I was going to ask if this was the first time, because I've probably not watched season one in years.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure this is the first time you really see a flashback beyond the initial, opening of the series.
Right. Cool.
And I still want to see some early teens hunting training, like when they're actually getting trained to do stuff. That'll be cool if they ever get to that. Who knows?
I don't know who made it, but I found, I think it was on DeviantArt, I found like a cartoon sort of drawing, like a comic book kind of drawing that somebody had done of Little Sam and Little Dean, and like one of them had a handgun, the other one had a shotgun. And it was really adorable.
How cute.
If I can find it, I'll send it to you guys.
Let's go shoot people.
Is that an automatic or a revolver?
Zip 45.
All right.
So they're watching Thundercats, I think.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Awesome.
I guess, yeah, I can't remember if I spotted that or not. Yeah. But they did have the extremely swanky bowling suite.
I don't know.
You saw that, right?
Yes, I did.
Yes. So, anyways, Dean recalls his dad had a photo of a handprint when he was going hunting and leaving the boys at the motel. And I guess that's the whole flashback, right? Because they repeat the flashback back, they flashback repeatedly.
Yeah, they go back a couple times in time.
So this is just
This is the one, isn't this the flashback where he, the father leaves?
Yes, this is when he's just leaving.
Excuse me, and the father says to, you know, most fathers, they say like, you know, don't open the door for strangers or whatever, and he says, he says shoot first and ask questions later, so it's a little bit of a different family.
Warm, fuzzy family.
Yeah.
John is the best dad ever.
You know, I think it's really interesting that you say that, because I think that this episode, I mean, he's like this hero to these kids. I think this episode really showcases him as a very bad dad. And I guess we can talk about that later, but he's like this heroic character. But I think this episode really highlights, I mean, I think he's terrible in this episode.
I mean,
really.
He straight up uses Dean as bait. Like, he's awful.
And he expects Dean, he gives all this pressure on Dean to, I mean, Dean's a little kid. I mean, you know, he should be able to go out and play a video game. If he wants to, he puts all this pressure on Dean, and he doesn't really seem to forgive him in the end, at least from what we see. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself.
And Dean doesn't really hold a grudge either.
Not at all, because I think he's intimidated or in awe of his father, as many boys are.
It's also like some sort of like Stockholm syndrome. Like they didn't really have, like, this is all they know. So I'm
absolutely.
So
that's yeah. No, I totally agree with that.
You're hostage. Isn't to the hunting.
Isn't Fox and Olaf Paul there?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Sure.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Oh, he looks up to you for sure.
Well, yeah, definitely. So as they're pulling into the motel, they're discussing the Striga, and Dean still claiming that he doesn't know much about it.
Which is weird. I don't understand why he doesn't just tell him.
He really should have. Would have made the episode a lot more... No, actually, it probably would have made the episode bad, but it would have been helpful for their relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dean checks in and meets the motel owner's older son and watches them preparing dinner and flashes back into the past again. Sam might not, I have here that Sam may not be a girl, but I swear this is exactly like Fox and Iris bickering over who gets the Lucky Charms.
Oh my God, yes it is. Every time. Isn't it?
Yeah.
But the thing is, I thought to myself, Fox would never do that. He would just take it for himself. There is like, no, he would not do it.
Or he would very spitefully make sure that she gets it. Okay, whatever. You get it.
Yeah, you're right. He could totally murder that one out, couldn't he?
Yes.
I was surprised that Little Dean threw out the SpaghettiOs. Because why wouldn't you just eat it? Obviously,
I know.
They're not eating often.
Every time I see that, it drives me nuts because I'm just like, okay, fine, you give your... But no, stop, no, oh.
No, I was totally opposite. I was like, yeah, you throw that trash in the trash. That's
no,
disgusting.
It's fine if you don't like it, but I mean, just it's like, don't... That's such a waste, you know?
Yeah, it is a waste, but yuck. Ooh.
I get the sense, too, that they had sort of... OD'd on SpaghettiOs, that it was the last thing either one of them wanted to look at.
Probably. And hey, it's not SpaghettiOs, it's Pescettios.
That's what my sister used to call it when we were little.
I think a lot of kids did. Yep.
Young Sam is weird, I guess.
There you go. Oh, but I really like the vintage Lucky Charms box.
I didn't catch that.
Sure, it was full on vintage. It wasn't.
Do you want to know why I didn't catch that it was vintage? Probably because I haven't seen a Lucky Charms box in that long.
Yes.
Because we don't buy...
Yes, if it was
like, it's not like they went away. They're still around.
Well, I realize that, but I try not to look.
You just close your eyes in the cereal aisle. You're like, no.
That's right. I'm keep good. Walking to the Malto meal, Darcy. Keep walking to the Malto meal. Don't look.
Bag cereals. With generic names.
That's right. Aldios.
Marshmallow Mateys.
Marshmallow Mateys. Yay.
So what we have around here, Mateys.
If we're going full sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Cross references for other Striga information. It's an Albanian witch legend, which may date as far back as Roman times. They suck life force. And Dean reveals that cold iron will kill it, but only when it feeds.
Just like a Dementor.
What?
They're just like the Dementor.
How's that?
They suck the life out of you.
Well, yeah, that's what I was... Yeah, we covered that they look like ring wraiths, and they kind of remind us of Durkinderstad from the Killed by Death episode about... We've covered this.
Oh, okay, I missed
just
that.
Just so you know.
Sorry.
Just so you're aware. Yes. They speculate that it may have a human disguise and notice that all the victims are near the hospital. And then Dean points out there was a spooky old woman with an inverted cross on the wall. So they go sneak up on her. And they almost blow her away before they realize that she's just a creepy old blind woman with a broken cross.
Yeah, somebody fixed
half-blind.
That cross.
Must have been half blind because she knew the cross was not fixed.
I just got Darcy's Exorcist references to Jason Miller's mom. Jason Miller's mom? Is that where you meant?
Yeah.
The woman in the hospital. Yeah, I get it. Okay. Yeah.
It's been so long since I saw this episode that it wasn't until that moment just before they enter the hospital when the doctor is like leaving for the night that I realized he was the bad guy. I started laughing. I was like, oh my God, he's the bad guy. Duh. I'm like,
there is a shot of him, a close-up of him as he's walking out, which casts some sort of suspicion on him, I thought, too.
That night, the Striga gets the younger son of the motel owners, and Dean talks to the older son the next morning, who blames himself for not checking the window.
I thought it was weird. I mean, this is, like, totally pointless, but, like, those kids look like they walked straight out of the 70s. Like, like they were just the weirdest, like, choice. I don't like the costuming and their hair.
I think that was on purpose thing, because I think they were trying to... give a similarity to these two boys with the single mom and the two boys with the single dad, but I don't know. Maybe not.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe I was supposed to make some sort of connection between... I mean, I made some sort of connection.
Yeah, you are, but sometimes it's a little heavy-handed.
Yeah. I also thought that maybe the Striga was one of the brothers, but...
Oh!
Hmm. The sassy older one that liked to make queen jokes?
Yeah, yes. I didn't care for the homophobic brothers.
Hey, wait, like, it totally works, though, if they're Sam and Dean, because, you know, you watch enough of this show and you'll start to realize that the brothers are equally as homophobic at times.
Oh, great. Well, something to look forward to.
Yeah.
What are you going to answer?
Some people are homophobic. It happens.
True.
Well, I've definitely noticed that they, I don't know if I would call them homophobic, but that they are sensitive about being interpreted as lovers when they check into hotels and so on. We've seen that before.
Yeah.
I like to attribute that to just because they're brothers, just because, like, I would be equally creeped out if somebody thought my brother was my date or whatever. But yeah, it's probably going to come to a head at some point for me where I'm just like, stop it. Stop caring so much. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It's weird. You would think Sam would just flat out say, oh yeah, he's my brother.
Yeah.
I think he enjoys the awkwardness that Dean gets when that sort of scenario arises. He likes teasing his older brother.
Also, Dean is kind of a really sort of macho guy. I don't know if it's... I mean, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's a nuanced distinction whether, I don't know, I don't want to go there and, I think he's very sort of into his machoism or manliness or whatever.
Machismo.
Yeah, much more than Sam. Sam is much more the sensitive, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll scream like a girl when the old lady freaked them out.
Yes. Right. That was fun.
Right, but I don't think you'd ever admit it after.
No, definitely.
At the library, Sam is checking out the past history and finds many incidents, aside from the Fort Douglas that they knew their dad was looking at earlier. There was also North Haverbrook and Ogdenville and Brockway, all of which in the past had disastrous monorail accidents, too. Did anybody else catch that?
No, but it's funny how that you mention it.
Yes, all three of those in the monorail episode of The Simpsons. Ogdenville, North Haverbrook, and Brockway were the other towns victims of the monorail scam.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
You have to play the monorail song at the end of this episode now, and you realize that.
Monorail.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I North Haverbrook for some reason rang the bell for me on that one. The other two it didn't really. And then when I looked up North Haverbrook, I was like, oh hey, yeah, that's one of the towns that's near Springfield, and it was a monorail town. And then I looked it up further and was like, oh wait a second, all three of those are the towns from the monorail episode. Because then I found a screenshot of them holding up the map, and the map had North Haverbrook and Ogdenville and Brockway on them on the map all at once. And then I looked up what the shot was from. So, anyways, I thought it was a clever reference. Sam finds a picture from 1893 with head Dr. Heidecker in the photo.
Yeah, I love that he was looking at microfiche.
Yes.
Haven't seen that in a while.
Do they still have that? I mean, is that still a thing you can do?
It is, but it's mostly been converted, like, to digital.
Has it? Now. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I did that as, like, an internship in grad school. Like, I just converted microfiche to digital files.
Wow.
We have periodicals on microfiche.
I suspect that a lot of small town papers are still probably on some...
Probably haven't gotten converted by some lucky grad student, you know.
Perhaps. Here and there. Yeah. So, yeah, the doctor is terribly old. Well, he's not human.
He looks pretty good for his age.
I know. How many thousands of years old is he?
Who knows?
He probably has lost count.
So they say, he's not human.
Yeah.
Dean and Sam discuss how to get him. Dean wants to use the motel kid Michael as bait. And Sam opposes. Dean says it was his fault originally that the Striga is free. And he tells of how back in the day he went off to play video games, leaving Sam alone at the motel, where Sam was attacked by the Striga, and Dad just about got the Striga at that point, but he got away.
Creepy.
So you really didn't notice that was a swanky bowling? All the bowling pins and the bowling theme.
Which one? The
motel room, the passport motel room.
Let's go bowling.
You know, I don't think I was... I did watch the episode. I'll be honest, I was not paying a whole lot of attention because I had other things distracting me that night.
High fever girl next to you.
Yeah, I was more concerned about that, I think.
All right. But it was a swanky bowling room.
Yeah.
In the present, Dean tries to get Michael to agree to be the bait. And it does take some doing, but they bond over being big brothers. And he agrees to it.
Thank you.
So the plan is the boys will wait one room away, and when the Striga comes, they'll shoot it.
Okay, so would it come if they were one room away? Because then why didn't the dad just stay one room away? Just asking. Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good question.
Lots of holes in my theory, I realize.
Yes, so he might not even known that it would go after his own guilt children.
Well, you got to hope that he didn't know that, or he wouldn't have left him alone, but I'm not sure.
I think he knew.
Maybe he was one room away the whole time.
Well, he wasn't very fast, and he should have seen Dean leave, so it'd be like, get your butt back in there, bait.
Maybe that's what he wanted to do. He was like, I'm just going to let him go play pinball for a little while, it's fine, and then come back and be like, I get to be mad at you now because you didn't do what I said.
Oh, wow. I've never thought about doing that with the kids. Have you ever thought about that?
What, abandoning the kids and watching them play video games?
No!
What?
Isn't that called
set
entrapment?
Them up. Exactly. Let's set them
up. You think John is not, you know, not willing to do something like that? He's an interesting fellow, that John Winchester of ours.
No, I think he would totally do that, but...
Yeah, he'd totally drum home the message of, you got to pay attention to the rules and do what I say.
Yeah, that's...
And here's some temptation.
Interesting way to do it, but...
But...
Personally, I don't think he had any idea that the streaker was going to come after his children at all, but, you know... imagine it could go either way, really, because John is just that bad.
Yes.
That makes me think we got some bad stuff coming from John.
I ain't saying nothing.
Who knows? Maybe he's actually really, really nice. Highly possible.
So their plan works after a couple of tries, and when they kill it, all of the life forces zip back to their original places, and all the kids have miracle recoveries. All the life forces zipping back, like at the end of Hush and Buffy, when all the voices went zipping back to everybody.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyways, kind of looked the same, too.
It did.
Yes. And that's the episode, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray.
Oh, yawn.
Oh, I think we're not getting a big high rating on this one, are we?
God, y'all, this episode was so boring. Like, about midway through it, I was just writing down Halloween costume ideas. Like, I just, like, I had so much trouble with this.
Are you going to go with the streaker this year?
That would be a really good costume. Maybe I'll go as that, like, creepy blind lady with the upside-down cross.
Sweet.
I also think that these episodes, you know, the ones that are not so good, the worst ones, I guess is what I'm trying to say, you can almost predict the last 10 minutes of what's going to happen in all of these, you know, the ones that are not too imaginative. I think this was certainly one of those.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even really have to watch it.
I mean, once they set up the trap, it was pretty much, you know, okay, there might be one setback during this, but it's pretty much going to work.
Yeah.
There's not that much episode left, and it doesn't feel worth a two-parter.
And you knew the kid was going to say, yes, I'll be the bait. You knew that.
At some point.
Yeah. You knew all that.
So, we've got our traditional who wins, Sam versus Dean.
I'll give it to Dean.
Yeah, I'd give it to Dean. He gets his closure on his childhood incident and gets he got the Striga.
Yeah, Dean purges his guilt, I guess.
Yeah, it works for me. I'll give it to Dean.
I'm on the fence.
Are you?
Well, because Sam got the lucky charms. That's the only reason I am on the fence. All right, so I'll go for Dean just because I guess he gets to win. But
although I feel bad for Dean for not being able to, you know, smack his dad across the mouth when he was a kid and be like, you're a terrible parent.
Yeah.
This is not my fault.
Yeah. Make it force feed those SpaghettiOs to dad right out of the garbage.
Yeah.
Simone, dad. Who's your
Do you think I'm interested?
Exactly?
What was that, Simone?
I'm unsure of what this winning thing is. Sorry.
It's pretty arbitrary. We choose one of the brothers that wins the episode. You know, they
win. Like, gets out of it a lot better or something?
Sure. You can make it for whatever reason you want, even if it's like Sam gets the Lucky Charms, you know, because then he wins because he got the Lucky Charms. Whatever you want.
Because they're magically delicious.
They are.
I guess I'll give it to Dean because, I don't know, he had a moment.
Because he's pretty.
And he's pretty.
Well, there's also that.
Yes, yes, he's pretty.
Yeah, and like lack of anything else.
The moment at the end where he also wishes Sammy had innocence means that Dean sort of, you know, he had a moment and he kind of wins that.
Good point.
What were you going to ask, David?
No, I was just going to say it's interesting to hear you guys talk about John because I kind of had the impression that we were being led to believe, you know, we're seeing him through the perception of his children who so look up to him, and he's kind of like this mysterious figure who is this great hunter of supernatural spirits, that the creators and writers and producers were trying to build him into this heroic character. But this episode was eye-opening for me, and it sounds like maybe some other people feel the same way, which is just interesting for me. I don't know if you all think that John is supposed to be a heroic character or not, but I'd be interested in hearing.
Here's what I think. There was a gentleman that was in my life as a child. He was a cop in our city. And he just had this air about him of, I am the I'm not supposed to say that word.
I don't know.
Go back. The best thing that happened to the world. You know, he really thought that about himself. And that's kind of the same feeling I get about John. He really thinks that he is hot stuff because of what he does. But I'm not buying it for a minute.
But I think the show is not necessarily. I think especially once we get to this episode, the show is not painting him as ideal parent or whatever. They're more painting him as like the mission is first. The mission comes first.
Right.
You kids, I want you kids safe, but the mission comes first.
I guess. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
I'm always defending John personally, but you guys haven't seen reasons why you'd even imagine I could defend John, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You're right, the show is making us see John through the boy's eyes and through this on a pedestal, and he's this great man that is, you know, protecting us and teaching us, and they don't really show what John is going through during all of this. Because, I mean, come on now. We see in the pilot, he lost his wife. That's gonna mess a guy up.
True.
It's gonna do some damage. True. I think he's doing the best he can, but he's kind of bad sometimes. It really just does depend on which eyes you are viewing him through. And it will constantly change.
Yeah, I suppose on the episode it would change what you would see.
And I suppose both perspectives are reflective of both of the brothers too. I mean, the one perspective that he's all that is the Dean perspective, and the perspective where the mission is what came first is kind of Sam's perspective to some extent.
True,
but you know, on the other hand, Paul, you know, in certain ways, Supernatural is about family, and here this person is putting something above the family. You know, there are times that Dean has called him and said, we really need you, and he has not showed up. There are times that, like this episode, where he leaves his children in danger, again, for the mission. And you can also argue that if you lose your spouse, that you can go one of two ways. Either you can become fully committed to finding out what killed her, and I can totally see where that would happen and create this obsession. But the other way you can go is it becomes especially important to you to hold on to what you have left in terms of family. And that doesn't seem to be the case.
Right. I agree with you on that one entirely because that would be, I don't know. Yeah. Once you have a life changing incident, you kind of do take one path or the other, I suppose.
All right. Or both or neither.
Okay. Do we want to do our quotes? If we have any, I didn't find a whole lot in this episode personally.
There were a lot.
I just have one.
All right, go, John.
All right. Dude, I am not using this ID. Why not? Because it says Bikini Inspector on it.
Well, that takes care of that one.
That takes care of that one.
Yep.
I've got one, and it's from the creepy old lady. And will you fix that crucifix?
Yeah, I totally struggled with this. I went with, you know, this might shoot first and ask questions later, just as a strange piece of parental advice. But I definitely did struggle.
I have a couple. I guess I like this one more than you guys. I have Dean saying, you're a real smart ass, you know that?
It's okay. Yvette, do you have any quotes?
I have nothing.
That's okay.
Oh,
that's
Paul's
fine.
Got one more. You got one more.
No, I don't have to do that one, do I?
Yes, you do. I'll make you do it.
He's the homophobic little kid.
I know. Say it.
a king or two queens? Dean says, two queens. And Michael looks and says, yeah, I'll bet.
There, you had to say it.
All right. I didn't even say it well.
You did not.
The kid delivered it much better than I did.
I know. You're not a very good child actor.
Yeah. Or not ever. Not ever.
Supernatural.
All right. Feedback. We have a single email, and that's from Heidi.
I knew it.
It's Heidi.
Heidi's keeping her streak alive
super
on these
fan.
Ones. Yep. Super fan Heidi. She says, hey guys, scary stories involving children are some of the scariest for me, and I don't even have kids. The sick kids reminds me of the Buffy episode with Der Kinderstad or whatever it was called. I love Tiny Sam and Dean. The old woman is scary in the scene where she scares them so funny. But she's not a witch, just old. Sam's bangs were driving me crazy this episode. Get a haircut, please. It's just too dirty looking right now.
I am so,
thank you.
So agree with that.
Yes. Amen.
Why did the monster turn on all the lights when it came to get Sam? It was dark when Dean left the hotel room. Papa Winchester has left Dean with a lot of psychological issues along with that unfinished business. And how is Michael going to explain all the bullet holes in his bedroom to his mom? I really like this one. Hope you enjoyed it.
Do you think that they, like, patched that up with some toothpaste? Or what do you think they did?
Yeah, I don't know.
They just carry some spackle in their, like, weapons kit.
They must.
Well, you know, the bullets that miss just kind of disappear.
They just disappear. They don't get lodged into the kitchen cabinets or anything.
Yeah, no.
No.
Perfectly safe. All right, thank you, Heidi. And we are ready for our ratings segment. And we will let our... What's it? Pardon me?
Let's do it.
We'll let our guest Simone go first.
Oh, thank you. I really like this one. I like this one more than the next one. Genuine Knopf wrote it, and he's a great writer, and this is a great episode. Out of the first season, it's like in my top three. So I'm going to have to give this one an 8 out of 10.
All right.
8 out of 10 what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. SpaghettiOs.
I actually kind of had the same feeling that Simone did, where, like, I initially liked this one more than the next one, but then hearing you guys talk about it kind of made me reassess it, so I actually switched out my ratings. But I do think this one is very creepy. You know, anytime you're dealing with kids, you know, like Heidi said, and you put them in peril, like, I'm always, you know, on the edge of my seat, like, and afraid. And, you know, though the monster reminds me of lots of other things, it's still effective. So I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 scraping tree branches.
All right. I like the flashback, but it was a bit too... what the hell do I mean by that? I wrote this rating summary a long time ago.
It was a bit too past tense.
A bit too standalone, I said. I don't know. Oh, like I said, I want some flashbacks of them training or earlier in their action as a family. The spooky monster, but slightly unoriginal. I'm giving it also a 7 out of 10 failed monorail towns.
I don't know. I had... It was... Well, it was very ill-timed for me, so that's really going to affect how I feel about the whole thing. Have to be honest that I turned my brain off for it. I was not into it. It was not doing anything I needed to do. So I'm going to give it, this may not have anything to do with the show, but it's all I can think of. I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 nebulizer treatments.
All right, because you were busy.
I was busy girl, yep.
All right, Darcy, don't feel bad because mine's even worse. All right, I was so bored this whole episode, and for me, like, boring is like even worse than just like straight up bad. I just didn't care like about anything that was happening. I was bored. So 3.5 out of 10 bikini inspectors.
Oh.
I know that the quote was already taken, but sorry.
So for me, the whole sort of key to this episode is whether or not the flashback is eventually more purposeful than just relating to or explaining the emotions of Dean in the course of this episode, whether it has some higher value than that or deeper value than that down the road. So to an extent, it's kind of like an inchoate rating. But I did give it a 6 because to me that the whole soul of this was that flashback, and to me it also did lend insight into who John is. So if that develops further down the road, then I would go back retroactively and raise this rating. But I would give it, I guess, a 6 out of 10. And I gave it, I thought it was really interesting in the car, and I don't know if this is just what is the word again when you say something that's, well, I guess outdated or whatever, but I don't know. Was Google not a big factor back in the time this was made? Because Sam said he was doing LexisNexis searches. So I gave this 6 LexisNexis searches because today people would say Google, right? They would say they Googled it.
Well, LexisNexis is a separate
academic.
Separate database of academic mm-hmm. texts, yeah. Basically, or academic right. and law texts.
But wasn't he looking up history of crimes? I mean, that's something today I think you would Google.
Well, LexisNexis is one of our clients at work, and they do a whole lot of law stuff.
Yeah, it's legal.
Legal.
It's
whether legal embraces crime necessarily is not exactly.
It might, you know, if you're looking for, you know, records of who got booked or.
Because they do, Sam does usually, he is usually researching newspapers when he does go to the library.
Right.
So anyway, it could be that I'm totally wrong. I mean, I've used it, you know, too, mostly for academic journals and things like that.
And not for a long time. I mean, I don't
right.
I've been in school for a long time, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's still active.
Okay.
It's a company we do work for, so.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, y'all, so that means that this episode gets a 6.08 out of 10, which is, you know, better than I think it should, but, you know.
It's still pretty low, you gotta give it that. It's still pretty low.
I don't think we tend to average much below 5 on any of our episodes.
Well, it's because it's always somebody likes something about it a lot, and that's good. That's why we have a nice, diverse group here. So.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Well, Simone, thank you so much for coming on this episode with us.
Thanks for letting me guess. It's been a while.
Sure. Do you have any anything that you plug that you're involved in?
Oh, yes. I do ObserverCast. That's a fringe intro cast. It's fun. We have fun doing it.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, people check that out if they want to. I still haven't ever seen any of Fringe, but...
Aw.
That's surprising.
We have no time.
And when you say Observer, I just think of the brain guy from MST3K, so... Because he was the Observer. All right. John, what's our homework for next week?
Homework is episode 19 from season 1, Provenance.
Right, and we've pretty much given up the pretense that we haven't actually seen it yet, but I did think at the time that it was probably something to do with antiques, because that's all I know it from is Antiques Roadshow.
I know, I was like, do-do-do, sorry.
Yeah. Oh my god, if it had been an Antiques Roadshow, like, crossover, amazing.
Oh my god, I would have been so into that. That would have been my dream show. It would be awesome.
Yeah. With the Kino brothers?
Yeah, they're not as sexy as they used to be. Oh, they're not. Now they kind of have like a raspy voice. You know, they're probably developing emphysema. It's just not the way it used to be.
Well, they're older than you think.
Well, yeah.
All right. Well, that's neither here nor there. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening and for coming on and everything. And I think I will say happy hunting.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, y'all. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to the IdgitCast from QuadripleZ.com. Visit our Facebook group at facebook.com/IdgitCast. Email us at IdgitCastPodcast@gmail.com. Please use the episode title in the subject line. You can call our voicemail line, 206-309-9389. Please name the episode early in your message. The theme song for the IdgitCast was written and performed for the show by Borrowed Trouble, and the vocalist is Allie Jones. Find the band at borrowedtrouble.com. The closing music you are hearing right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan and is used by permission. Find more music by Jack, as well as humor, fiction, discussion, and a variety of other goings-on at jackmangan.com, home of the Deadpan Podcast. Would you like to hear more from the hosts of the show? You can find John Pavlich on CastleCast, also from QuadripleZ.com, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at sofadogs.libsyn.com. Yvette can also be heard on Investigating Mars, also at QuadripleZ.com. David Bushman is one of the hosts of the Pop Culture Wars podcast at Facebook/Pop Culture Wars. Get in touch with Darcy for apparel design needs at facebook.com. Search for Cyan Fey Designs, CYANFEY Designs. And you can also hear Darcy and I on the Ghostlight Podcast, an introcast for the television series Slings and Arrows at quadruplez.com. Talk monsters?
Hey, let's Yarn. Talk about some monsters.
All right.
Get our spooky on.
God damn it, monster.
All right, well, unless anybody else has any reason for us to delay, I'll tell John to go when he's ready.
Okay. You're listening? Sorry?
I'm sorry. I'm like, go when you're ready.
Yeah,
jeez.
When he's ready, not when you're talking.
It's like John is a method actor.
He's gotta get up to me again.
Well, we know that that's probably not.
All right, get centered again and go for it.
Shut up, you want.
Are we ready to go?
Yeah. I think we are. Yeah. You're the boss, Paul. Come on.
Yeah, okay. And definitively so.
Don't you forget it.
That's right. And I never let you know that you're the boss, so you should probably feel pretty good about that.
Why did you tell him?
Because he's not really the boss. It's okay.
So you lied.
He's the boss of this.
What?
Podcast.
Oh, am I?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Spoken like a true leader.
Am I
in charge here?
Who am I?
What am I supposed to be doing here?